This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. The American economy at Christmas. I welcome Gene Marks, the small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition. Also, our hometown newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer. He writes for The Hill. He writes for a number of distinguished publications. We go now to the big story, the statement by the Federal Reserve in these last hours that the beginning is behind us. The 11 rate hikes since the spring of 22 to, in some fashion, answer the inflation that was coming from supply chain problems, from the recovery of the pandemic, from the money distributed by the U.S. government because people were not working. All of that caused inflation in part, so did the spending by Congress. And the Federal Reserve's answer was to raise interest rates in the sharpest and longest fashion in memory, to my understanding. The Federal Reserve now says that's over. Gene, a very good evening to you. We all sighed. However, what we now know is that the worst is behind us, but we don't know if the best is coming. Retail sales, for example, 0.3% in November. That may be a good number. It may be something that will strengthen in time. It's impossible to tell. Also, the CPI increased 0.1% in November. The core CPI, which they take out housing, I believe, is 0.3%. All of those numbers no longer are shocking, but they're no longer useful. How do you imagine the landscape now changing in 24 for small businesses, Gene? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. You know, what's fascinating about all these numbers, which people don't seem to talk about, but a few of the economists I follow online have published some interesting charts that talk about the overall money supply in this country. And you know, money supply, when there's too much M2, meaning, you know, the money supply, which is all cash and currency that's out there, that is, one of the core reasons why you have inflation. And what the Fed does to respond to that is they raise interest rates so that it can draw down on that, you know, and bring that money supply back under control. The money supply itself over this period of time, the past year or two, has actually not declined that much. Now, the Fed has increased interest rates to, now the prime rate's at 8.5%. And a lot of people think, they're increasing the interest rates is what's caused a lot of the inflation rate itself to come down. And my stipulation here is that there's still a lot of money that's circulating around the system and still a lot of money to be spent under the president's stimulus bills that were passed in 2021 and 2022. That, it takes time for that money to get out into the system. What we're seeing, this decrease in inflation that we've seen, is just the worldwide economy, one, slowing down, and number two, catching up to the enormous disruption from the pandemic. All the supply chain issues are worked themselves out, and most of the companies that I talk to, that I speak to, as well as my clients, there's not a this undersupply issue that was driving this increase in prices. It's quite the opposite. Inventories have been building, and I think that's really what's happening with inflation. Meanwhile, the Fed is taking credit that it's interest rates that did it, and I'm not so sure. Now, having said that, inflation, like you said, has been decreasing, which is great news. And so the Fed is watching very, very closely, and they've given indications that the interest rate that we're at right now is at its maximum, and that we are, we're likely to see decreases in the interest rate, the federal funds rate and the prime rate next year. But I do have to say, John, that, although inflation does seem to be under control now, I just want to warn people that there is still a lot of money bouncing around in the system. That wasn't affected by these increase in interest rates. There is still a lot of money to be spent in the system by the government under a lot of these, the stimulus plans, the Inflation Reduction Act and whatnot. And these, this might put upward pressure on inflation in 2024. Salaries and income have been keeping pace with inflation over this past year, so that's good news. Household wealth is actually been holding steady, mainly because the stock market's up. And the stock market is up because it's expecting, Wall Street is expecting the Fed to lower interest rates, which makes stocks more attractive. But in the end, will that consumer jump back in and continue to spend like they've been spending. Retail sales rebounded in November. They were down in October, and that's a really good sign. And I do think we'll have a fairly strong holiday season. But I just, you know, keep your eye on inflation in 2024, because it's still, there's still this risk that it's out there. Keep your eye on, you know, whether or not the consumers themselves are going to continue to spend throughout next year. Because that, among with other, you know, uncertainties in the economy, the minute they start pulling back, that's going to have an impact on businesses all around the country, both big and small.
Income tax. Income. What is income? There is a Supreme Court case that is a joy to follow because I only understand half of it. But here's the half I understand. A couple known as the Moors invested in an enterprise in the Republic of India, far away, the other side of the world. That investment led to an asset that increased in value sizably. Good for the Moors. They did not move to realize their gains. They let it ride. The tax bill arrived and they said, this isn't fair. We haven't sold anything. The tax bill is $14,000, making its way through the courts. It's now been an oral argument before the Supreme Court. Is an asset increase in your portfolio income? Can you be taxed on it, whether you realize it or not? Gene, you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's a massive, massive issue. It is a constitutional issue because the Constitution does give the government the power to tax income. And that's assumed to mean realized income. A wealth tax has been proposed going back to, you know, Elizabeth Warren and Senator Sanders are proponents of wealth taxes to tax the wealthy on their unrealized gains. But once you open up that door, John, man, you're just letting all the floodwaters in. And, you know, where does it stop? The way that it hits the average person, you know, you and me, you know, we buy a house for $1,000 and over the next, you know, year, Zillow reports that the house value is increased to, you know, 10%, maybe to $1,100. Well, you know, if this case is actually, you know, approved by the Supreme Court that you can tax unrealized gains, then that increase, say, in your home value could be subject to taxation. And, you know, you're still in your home. It's not a pile of cash. It's your house. But the value of it has gone up, and now it's subject to taxation. And the government, you know, certain politicians just are licking their chops at this, you know, at this prospect, because they can go after, you know, the very wealthy and say, hey, Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and Bill Gates and whoever, you know, your portfolio of assets have increased X dollars over the past year, and we're going to apply a 1% tax on that. You know, it also opens up all sorts of issues of valuation. I mean, I don't know if Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk own artwork or collectible cars or stamps or whatever, but it's all assets. It's all part of it. How do you value that stuff and then come up with whatever an increase is so it can be taxed? It's a Pandora's box of your complications. Great for us accountants, I guess. But again, it opens up this door where then, you know, the government can continue to ratchet down the food chain and start taxing, you know, upper class, middle class on asset increases, whether or not they've been realized or not. And I think it would be, I think it's a really terrible thing if it happens. So we'll have to wait to see what the Supreme Court rules.
Retirement plans. This is the Philadelphia Business Journal. That's our hometown. And Gene's here to tell us, Gene, have they figured out that the Roth IRA is a gold mine and they're coming for it? Is that it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, we've touched on retirement plan issues before, and I'm glad you bring it up, only because, you know, you and I, John, were talking, it's the middle of December. Still time for you, if you're running a business or even if you're independent or not, to put money away into your retirement plan. I mean, you can still stick away about $22,500 into your 401k plan in your company. So by all means, do that. If you don't have that, you put money into an IRA, max out your retirement plans. Remember, if you're a small business and you're on the accrual method, not the cash method of accounting, you can contribute to your employees' retirement plans, John. And I strongly recommend that you do that, because you can get a deduction for it. You don't even have to make that contribution until the middle of March if your year end is December 31st. But, you know, if you have a profitable year, give some of that money back to your employees, contribute to their plan. They'll get it tax free, and you get a deduction for it. Do that instead of giving it to the federal government. That and many other things are now allowed under retirement plans, thanks to that SECURE Act. And it's absolutely important that a business owner looks at all of their options to not only have a 401k, but a Roth 401k as well. These things are really, really valuable to not only retain, but attract really good workers.
Gene Marks, the small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, as well as our hometown newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer. Next, we're going to turn to small business specifically and Gene's tips to small business to start the year right, 5 a.m. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.